Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, welcome to Christ Covenant Online. I want to give a special shout out to everybody watching on our website, on YouTube, listening on the podcast, and watching on Facebook. We're so glad that you're tuned in. And if you're on YouTube and you have the chat open, or if you're on Facebook, would you write an amen in the comment section in the chat? Would you throw in some fire emojis and let people know that you're excited for church here this morning? And I got to tell you, God's put a word on my heart for you. And so if anything that I say, if it speaks to you, give me a digital amen. Let people know that was good, that challenged me, and let's have church, even online church, together, and let's have some fun. Well, for those that are brand new, we are at the beginning of a brand new series called What to Do When I Don't Know What to Do. And I believe this second installment's really going to bless your heart. And really, the goal of this series is this. We're looking to God's Word together, specifically the book of Proverbs, and we're looking for practical answers to the problems right in front of us. And you know as well as I do that we have a lot of problems in the present. Job loss, money issues, family issues, and anxiety, to name just a few. We're all getting a little stir crazy with cabin fever, with all these restrictions that have come down. And did I mention that there are no live sports right now? And maybe that means nothing to you, but it means something to me. So pray for your pastor. I'm so ready for sports to come back. But regardless, you know, I know, our world, maybe even you, hurting, broken. There's a lot of people that are angry with what's taking place. And so we all need answers, and we all need help. And this is why we have a series like this one. And so if you have a copy of God's Word with you, would you open it up right now to Proverbs chapter 3? And by the way, if you do not have a physical copy of God's Word, or maybe you have a physical copy, but it's in a translation that you have a really hard time understanding, would you let us know? Would you direct message us? Would you call us during office hours this upcoming week? Or would you email us info@christcove.net, and we'll give you a Bible absolutely free. But if you do have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read several verses together. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to go all the way through verse 12, and I'm reading out of the NLT. So Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says this: "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you. He'll show you which path to take." Verse 7, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord." We talked about that a little bit in the first installment. "Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you." Last verse, verse 12, "For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." For those that are taking notes, I'm calling part two of this series, "My Need for Control." My Need for Control. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Jesus, you're awesome. You're amazing. And even in the middle of all the bad, we focus on the good. And God, you are good. So I pray for every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray for us all, no matter what platform we're watching on or listening on, that you would speak a timely word, that you would bring correction if necessary, that Holy Spirit, you would bring conviction to draw us unto yourself. And I pray for anyone who's far from you, that today, in this moment, in the present, not tomorrow, but in this moment, I pray they would come on home, that they would surrender their life to you. You are the one that they need. Holy Spirit, anoint my message, my words, and may you bring change from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you would say this, if you were honest, that in some area of your life, you like to be in control? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know it feels funny in your home, but I've got my hand up here in the auditorium. If you like to be in control in some area of your life, come on, play along, raise up that hand, like really high. Yeah, be proud of it. That's you. Now, if you're watching with somebody, keep it up for a second. If you're watching with somebody else in your home and their hand is not up and they're not playing along, walk over to them right now and lift their hand up too. All right, there we go. A lot of us, we love to be in control. Now, the truth is, whether you played along or not, most of us, including me, we have control issues. There's some area or areas of our life that we love to micromanage. And what's interesting is that we can be controlling in some areas, but not in another. Like maybe you're like this. When it comes to your work, even working from home, you are very detailed. You do things a certain way. You have a routine. You handle projects and meetings in a very specific way. But when it comes to your home life, you're more laid back. You're more relaxed. Or there's others, you're the exact opposite. Like you're laid back with work, especially work from home, but the second you step out of your home office, the second you step out of your bedroom from work, entering your home, you're ready for home life, then you're so detailed and you're so specific and you have rules in your home. And so just a few steps and you change personalities and people better obey, do it this way or die. Like that's your personality. It could be that some of you, you're very controlling about your finances. Like you know where every penny goes. You have apps and you get alerts all the time. You track your investments multiple times a day, which is really scary in the present. You've got spreadsheets and budgets, but when it comes to your kids, maybe you're more laid back. They're kids, they'll figure it out on their own. You're controlling in some areas, not every area, in some areas, but not in others. Now, in our family, my wife, Isabel, when it comes to big decisions, she's laid back. She goes with the flow. And not because she goes into big decisions haphazardly, no. She's laid back because honestly, she just trusts God. She's got a great faith in God. She believes that he's been with us this long and he's going to keep being with us and he's going to lead us and he's going to guide us. She's laid back with big life decisions. But when it comes to her kitchen, notice that I said her kitchen. When it comes to her kitchen, she's serious. Very, very serious. She wants the kitchen clean. She wants all the dishes taken care of and the floor spotless every single night before she goes to bed. She wants all the big spoons, y'all, facing one way and all the little spoons facing another direction. She has a system. And friend, don't you dare disrupt the system, there will be consequences for that. Now, the kitchen stuff doesn't bother me at all. I'm like, babe, it's your kitchen. You're a phenomenal cook. You take care of that. No big deal. But one thing I care about controlling a lot is the remote control. Can all the fellas watching give me a digital amen? You know what I'm talking about. Now, a lot of you know this, but not all, that we have two young kids with a third on the way very, very, very soon. And because we have young kids, I got to be honest, there's only so much Paw Patrol that I can watch. There's only so much Ryan's Mystery Playdate that I can handle. Like, I need, y'all, it's not a want, it's a need. I need the controller in my hand. It's my calling from God to handle the remote control in my house. God has ordained me, come on somebody, from on high to take care of the remote control. Now, there's several reasons, and I've given you some, that I like to handle the remote, but there's more reasons. Here's another one. I hate commercials. Like, I hate commercials. You know this. Commercials are from the devil, come straight from the pit of hell. So what happens, guys? Come on, hang with me. You're amening me right now. Come on, you're in my corner. What happens? You're watching something on TV, and when the commercial comes on, what do? We change the channel. And if the channel we change to has a commercial on for it, we go to option number 3 and we keep the thing going. We will not watch commercials. I've got to have control of the remote control. And again, most of us, if not all of us, we have things in our life that we try to control. Let's get real serious for an instant. A lot of us, we like to control people. If you're watching with your spouse, don't make eye contact right now. But we have control issues. But here's what we're going to learn today. It's not really a control issue. It's actually deeper than that, and it's a trust issue. And we're going to discover that in Proverbs chapter 3. So I've got just a few takeaway truths for you, and I hope that you'll take notes. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Here's the first one from the text. We see, number one, it's what's inside that counts. It's what's inside that counts. In the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 3, God makes it crystal clear that our focus should be on the heart and specifically hiding God's word in our heart. And it's not talking about memorizing the word of God cover to cover. If you've done that, good for you. But it's actually talking about bringing the word of God close to your heart, making it a part of the rhythm of your life. It's a part of your flow, your daily routine, that when you need help, you go to God's word first out of habit, because it's a part of your rhythm, it's a part of your flow. You go to God's word first instead of to your best friend first. Instead of to Google, you go to God's word, what it has to say. And honestly, it's not just reading it, it's applying it to your life. I think about it with my messages. Honestly, you could listen to every single message that I preach, but if you don't apply one of them, like just one message to your life, you're wasting your time. Let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. Can I get a digital amen? I hear you all the way across to those different homes. It's what's inside that counts. Now, Proverbs also says here, don't miss this, that we all, people who love God, that we should be loyal and kind. Other translations put it this way, loving and faithful. And I think we can all agree, we won't agree on everything, but I believe we'll agree on this, that our world would be a better place if more people had kindness, if more people had love and faithfulness. This is a big deal. And so here's my challenge. Instead of focusing on everyone else that needs to be kind, who needs to be loyal, let's look at ourselves in the mirror and let's look at us. Let's start with us. Now, anyone, you know this, anyone can be kind to your best friend or to your spouse when you're getting along, but it's hard to be kind to someone that you disagree with. It's hard to be kind to someone who upsets you. But can we live like Jesus followers, and actually be kind to those who persecute and harm us? Can we be kind to those, hear me loud and clear, that are even making decisions to negatively affect our life? I hope you'll just let me pastor you for a moment here. But we need to be more, I'm talking to Christians. We need to be more kind to those that we disagree with. And if you don't like what I'm saying, don't be upset with me, okay? The pastor, put your anger, your frustration in the right place, and you should really be upset with Jesus. Because he said himself, it's in red letters in a lot of your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, that we should love our enemies. Not our friends, we should love them, of course. But the harder thing is to love our enemies and pray for those that hurt us. So here's what I'm pretty sure of, that when we complain about the restrictions coming down and when we lash out in anger to those that annoy us or hurt us, we are actually disobeying the words of Jesus. So again, allow me to pastor you, please. Like, let's be better. Let's be better. Let's be like Jesus. I don't want you to be like Pastor Ryan. I want you to be like Jesus. And I know this is difficult. I don't agree with everything that's happening right now. But when did God say that living for God would be easy? It's not easy. And so the Bible says we need to focus on the inside, the heart. And even though that's great counsel from the Word of God, still, let's be real, a lot of us spend more time focused on the outside, the external, trying to manage everything that really we couldn't control if we wanted to. The truth is, we can all work really hard to control the external, but life will still throw you and me, all of us, a curveball. You can prepare all you want, but life will still catch you off guard. It's proven over and over and over again, and we're seeing it right now, that things will happen to us that we didn't plan for. So we must remember, it's what's on the inside that counts. Here's another practical challenge for you during this difficult season. Ask yourself this question honestly. During this pandemic, what am I filling my heart with? What am I allowing close to my heart? I love it. Proverbs chapter 4, the next chapter, says in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. When you let garbage in, guess what? Garbage will come out. And so if you're constantly anxious, angry, showing your frustration, you're afraid, there's fear, think about it. There's probably something that you're allowing into your heart that you shouldn't be allowing into your heart. Garbage in, garbage out. Ask yourself, what external factors are you allowing to steal your joy and your peace? Please hear me, friend. Just because we're self-quarantining doesn't mean we have to be quarantined away from God. Use this time to bring yourself close to God. Use this time to take God's word and to read it and to meditate on it and to think on it, to pray about it, to apply it to your life. Right now, invite God into your life. Invite God into your home. Let's make room for him to speak, and let's take time to listen and obey. Can I get an amen from somebody? To stay connected to God, connected to the church. I know it's difficult with everything online, but to do our best through virtual connect groups and logging on every single Sunday and calling people and texting people, like doing our part, stay connected. Even though it's the last thing you may want to do, it's actually the first thing you need to do. Let's stop focusing so much on the external, what we can't control, and focus on the internal. It's what's on the inside that counts. Here's the second takeaway truth. Number two, don't lean on something that can't hold the weight. Don't lean on something that can't hold the weight. This is verses 5 through 6, maybe verses that you knew well growing up even in church. Maybe you've memorized these verses, I'm not sure. And I like how the NLT puts verses 5 through 6, but I want to reread those two verses out of the Message Bible, which, by the way, it's not a different Bible. It's the same Bible, just worded a little differently, more conversational. Here's how the Message puts it. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere that you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? You see, when we lean on our own understanding, when we put our trust in ourselves, the Bible makes it clear, and honestly, life makes it clear, we're going to fall. It's a crutch that cannot support the weight of our life. And honestly, doesn't really matter how smart you are, doesn't really matter how many degrees that you have, really doesn't matter how much life experience that you have, your own understanding is limited, and it cannot handle the weight of your life. All of us, especially me, all of us, we do not come close to knowing what God knows. And the truth is, there's so much beyond our limited understanding. So why in the world will we ever lean on our own understanding? Can I tell you something, friend? It will not hold up. And we're seeing that across the world. We can all guess what we think's going to happen. We can pretend like we're strong enough by ourselves, but none of us are. Only God knows. Only God is enough. So when you and I don't know what to do, we should look up to God and say, God, help me. God, I need you. We should read the word. We should apply it to our lives. We should put God first. Here's the third takeaway truth. I think I've saved the best for last. I think I've saved the best for last. Number three, surrender isn't giving up. It's giving up control. That's for somebody. Surrender isn't giving up. It's giving up control. We see this in several examples in chapter 3. And you know, surrender, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like when most people think of surrender, we think of giving up, waving the white flag. Like when an army surrenders, they surrendered because they lost. This is true when it comes to war, but not when it comes to Jesus. You see, when we surrender something to God, we don't lose. We actually win. When we surrender something to God, it's not a sign of weakness, but actually of strength. Surrender is acknowledging the fact that we can't handle this. So we call in the one who can. It's not giving up, it's giving up control. So throughout Proverbs 3, we're encouraged to surrender control of our actions to God. Have you done that? We're encouraged to surrender control of our thoughts. Have you done that? We're encouraged to surrender control of our finances, our decisions. What are you saying, Pastor? We no longer call the shots if we're following Jesus. We're no longer the CEO of our own lives. And I hope this is sinking in, but as a Christian, we should no longer try to be in control. So here's how this looks practically. I wrote down just a few examples. Maybe you're thinking about moving homes. Maybe you're thinking about moving to another city, another state. Maybe you're just thinking about upgrading from an apartment to a house. Maybe you got a better job offer, even in the middle of everything that's going on, and you're thinking about taking it. Or maybe you really want to marry this person, and you love them, and you've put a lot into that relationship, and you want this. In all those different scenarios, what should you do? I can tell you what you should do. You should ask God first. And sometimes what God wants will line up with what you want, but not all the time. You should ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And even if he says no, you obey. Why? Because God calls the shots. We run the plays, but God calls the plays, not us. Another example, you get a stimulus check. My family, we got a stimulus check. What should you do? You gladly give 10% back to God. We did that. And it wasn't hard. It was easy. Why? Because God has control of our finances. Here's another example. You're a student watching this, listening to this. And you really want to work in the oil industry. You really want to make sure you pick a career where you can make a lot of money. And there's nothing wrong with that, so to speak. But as you're praying and as you're spending time with God, God clearly speaks to you maybe that that's not what he's called you to do. That there's a different purpose. There's a different plan that you should be a pastor or you should be a missionary or you should start a nonprofit. And if God says no to your dream, you should say yes to God still. You're not the CEO. You're not calling the shots. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Ryan, that's radical. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. And I know on the surface it feels that way. But honestly, there's no such thing as unradical surrender. And God has asked all of his children, all of us, to surrender our lives to him. And again, this is not an act of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's where our faith gets moving. It's where our trust is activated. Surrender isn't giving up. It's giving up control. Would you bow your head with me? Would you close your eyes? Jesus, I gave it my best to preach your word with humility but with boldness. And God, I know it's not my words that change anybody, it's your words. So I pray in this holy moment that your holy word would roll over every life, that every life, every heart would be open to allow your word to come in and sink deeply. Jesus, we need you. So many of us, I'll just speak for myself, I know me, I love to be in control. But God, as a Christian, as a follower of you, Jesus, we are no longer to be in control. We put the car in park and we get out of the driver's seat and we go to the passenger seat and we invite you in to drive. You're the captain. You're the CEO. So Jesus, I pray for any of us that we've been trying to call the shots. We'll profess that we love you with our mouth, but our life is completely different. I pray right now we would repent. We tell you that we're sorry for saying you're first, but not living in the type of way where you're first. We don't focus on other people. We focus on us. We focus on the inside, the internal, the heart of it all. Some of us, you need to take us back to our first love, to fall in love with you again, Jesus. And Jesus, I also pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you. I pray, God, for anybody, anybody that's far from you. I pray in this holy moment, that they would come on home, that they would surrender their very life to you. Come on, right where you are, you can respond to God. If you're far from God, you can come on home to him. You can come on home. You can surrender. may feel a little odd there in your room, there in your home, but I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me, to say it out loud. And honestly, it's not a weird thing, it's a beautiful thing, it's a powerful thing, that you would out loud tell God how much you love him, how much you care for him, that you would out loud say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And if you'll say this prayer after me with all your heart, God will hear you. You need to know God knows you. God cares for you. And if you say this out loud, profess your faith in Jesus, you can know that you know that you know that you will be saved. So if you're far from God, I want you to say this after me and mean it with all your heart. Say this, Jesus, I need you. I want you more than anything else, more than anyone else. And Jesus, I put my faith, my trust in you and you alone. I make you the Lord of my life. Come on, tell them this. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave, that you rose from the grave. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I give you my whole heart. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you this right before you log off and you end this. Let me tell you something really, really quickly here. If you said that prayer for the first time, we're going to show you a video here in just a second, but let us know. Direct message us, email us, call us, whatever you got to do. We want to give you this free gift. It's a Start Bible Kit. Let us know so we can step beside you to help you in your new journey, and I hope that you'll join us again this upcoming Sunday for part 3 of this series. I love you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCovHouston. Houston.